Welcome back to the Flatback 4 podcast. In this episode, we predict who will finish in the top 4 and the bottom 3 of this year's Premier League. We also discuss who will get the Golden Boot, as well as revealing who our picks are for Young Player and Player of the Season.
Right, lads, I think we're looking forward to a great Premier League this season. I think from listening to pundits and listening to, I think fans just being excited about the league starting this year, that there's four teams maybe that are in the hunt maybe for the title, or four teams that have cemented their place for the top four. But I'm going to come to Shawnee first maybe and see, what's your top four? Who do you think will be in the top four and what order do you have it?
Yeah, lad, very interesting this year will be. I think it's going to be a very competitive year. But my top four is, the winners are going to be Chelsea Football Club, Kings of Europe, Champions of Europe. I think they're going to win the Premier League title. Second, Manchester City. In third, Manchester United. And in fourth, just by the skin of their teeth, Liverpool.
Okay. Very interesting selections there as well. Elliot, I'll come to you. What's your top four pick?
Yeah, lads, I've gone with City to win it. I've gone, the next three, I think, are going to be very close and it could go anyway, but I've gone City to win it, Liverpool second, Chelsea third, and United fourth. I don't think there's any chance of anyone sneaking into that top four like there was, like West Ham and Leicester threatened to do last year. I think it'll be them four, but I think City will do it. What do you think yourself, Chrissy?
Yeah, I've gone with City to win the league. I've gone with Chelsea second, Liverpool third, and Man United fourth. And I think there's some of those places maybe that, not a flip of a coin, but they could be interchanging, but that's the way I think it's going to end at the end of the year.
I just don't think you can look past City, kind of. I just think their squad depth is so good.
I think that's a very, very, like, you know, it's a toss of a coin.
Incorrect that they have great squad depth.
No, they've great squad depth, but look at Chelsea squad depth. Look at the squad depth they have. It's absolutely crazy and absolutely scary. And you got Lukaku there coming in already. You've got more to come, and they got Jules Koundé, and you've got either Tchouaméni, Rice, or Bellingham there, who's been recently linked, or that could be, he could be next year. But you're going to get another midfielder in there. Chelsea squad depth is absolutely scary, especially Lukaku, who, you know, people will say whatever. He scored 64 goals in 95 appearances for Inter Milan. That's a better record than 1.1, like 1.3. Mm. And he is the top 3% of actual conversion rate in Europe. And the guy under Conte, whatever Conte done to him, he's the perfect striker for Chelsea. Big, tall, like, you know, Drogba, and we've had Costa. He's the perfect fit. We've got the best defence since Tuchel's come in. We've created the most chances since Thomas Tuchel came in. The only part of it was that we didn't have the actual clinical finisher. And, you know, I think Werner's going to come to the fore this year, especially playing off a big guy like he did in RB Leipzig. Kai Havertz had a very good Euros, great end of the season last year. Mason Mount. And N'Golo Kante is like having three players on the pitch at one time. Jorginho was nearly all of our player of the year at the Euros. And we've got the best back line, and we're going to add to it again. And we've got a great shot stopper in Mendy, who I believe is a better goalkeeper, bar his passing out, than Ederson. And Man City do have great squad depth. Grealish, I do agree with you, it's another, you know, good signing there. But I don't think they have the same squad depth as Chelsea going to next year, and especially with a young, enthusiastic manager in Thomas Tuchel, who I think is a level, if not better, than Guardiola at the moment.
Well, I agree with the Lukaku thing, Ken. I think Lukaku was absolutely quality. But I think another big thing to remember is City are not done in the transfer market. I think Harry Kane is coming in, or at least another big striker. So I just can't see past them. They won the league at Cantor last year, lad. Like, yeah, they were miles ahead of everyone last. They were resting players towards the end and things like that. I think City will do it. I think they're an underrated Premier League team. And if you look back into history, they won three of the last four Premier Leagues, lads.
I know that.
You know, and we and Liverpool had that amazing season that we know, right? I think Chelsea would be up there, Kenny. I don't think it'll be really a title race. I think it'll be, you know, till January, February maybe, and then I think City will go ahead. I think I wouldn't be very surprised if Chelsea finished second, but I just think City squad depth is better than anyone's. But Lukaku, I agree, Kenny. He's what you guys needed, a striker that bangs in goals, and Lukaku's going to guarantee you that. So, no, I agree on that front, but I'm just sad to say, I just think City again.
I just don't. I don't agree with you on squad. Like, you know, the difference.
Squad depth for City. They have 2 11s, lad.
We played their B side against Villarreal the other day, and we still came out as kings of Europe.
Your B side, with Kante in the starting lineup.
Kante was, how many did we have? Kante, Mendy, and Kai Havertz in the starting lineup that would start, and Antonio Rudiger. The rest we've given Chalobah and other reserve players like Alonso, Hudson-Odoi. The rest goes on that won't start this year. And they hardly played last year. And we've got great squad depth. We've got more to come in. The window isn't ended for Chelsea. And the same at Man City. But I still think it's nearly a level par of scary squad depth between the two. And I don't think the other sides have that extra squad depth that the two of those have. And I'm sure, Chrissy, you'll have an input here. And we'll go through, you know, second, third, why Liverpool are placed where, and Man United and City. But what is your thought on that?
He's quiet.
To be fair, from just listening to you, is like, you can't say Chelsea or Man City have a poor squad depth. Like, that's just not true, because they've a lot of players outside their starting 11 that can come in and contribute. And like, they have a luxury there that maybe Man United and Liverpool don't have. And I think that's clear for everybody to see. I still think City have, while Chelsea have options on the bench, I think this City's lads on the bench have a bit more quality than Chelsea's. I'm not saying it's by much, but I do think there's a more of a quality there. There's more of an experience within the Premier League and winning, and it does help. And I just think that while Chelsea has good squad depth, and I think nobody can take away, I do think Man City have the edge on that. I do think Harry Kane makes a difference, because if you look at City each year, every team has a little wobble. If Kane came to City, it's kind of like you'd feel Kane is the type of player that when City are not at it, he could get them over the line in those games, like he does for Spurs all the time. Like, Aguero's been injured, not been his best the last 2-3 years. Jesus is good, but he's not Kane good. Mm. And I just think that could be the difference. If Kane doesn't come, though, you know, I think it's more up for grabs. I really do. I think it's really tight between the clubs at the top, because I think that all the big teams have their kind of their little wobble, their tough patch, and it's the really, really great players, and it's usually the strikers that get you over the line. And I think that Kane would be a difference for it. Like, for example, when Chelsea were struggling last year, towards the end of the season, even when they had Tuchel, they needed a goal scorer. You'd like to think that Lukaku will do that job this year, that when Chelsea are finding it tough or not finding a rhythm within a game, that Lukaku will just get a goal out of somewhere or create something. So I think to really decide where it's going to go and for it to be definite, I think the Harry Kane transfer, whether he's going or not, is going to be massive.
Harry Kane goes to City, I think the league's won, basically. I think if he goes to City, I think the league's done.
Definitely disagree. Definitely with Kane has an injury record at different parts of the season. He will score goals, no doubt about it. He is absolutely top class. He will score top goals, but he has an injury part of the season where he does use a glass ankle.
It's true,
De Bruyne is very injury prone. As great as De Bruyne is, and he's absolutely fantastic. I would take nothing away from him. But when you have a player there like N'Golo Kante, who could mark and do anything to anybody in the league, he stays fit, Chelsea win the league. No question. But Lukaku, we create the most chances since Tuchel's come in. All we missed was a goal scorer. And bang, we have one. And we have a young manager in Thomas Tuchel, who's a tactician, man manager. You see how good his man management was in midweek. You know, he has no egos on that side. Chelsea is the perfect fit for him with Kepa and, you know, Mendy. You've seen what he did. City do have injuries there, and if Kane is injured, Jesus is not up to the standard, in my opinion. De Bruyne, he gets injured, that, you know, he's a 10 out of 10 player. You're bringing in a 7.5 odd player to come in there, still very good, but he's not your match winner like De Bruyne.
They won the league by 12 points last year, and didn't Aguero was unfit.
It's a different game. It's a different ball game this season. Chelsea are a fresh young side, in my opinion. They have fearless, won the Champions League. They have a great young manager who's going to be there the whole season, getting backed. It's a different ball game this season for me.
I think it's important, lads, that Weber's challenging gets us a good start against City, because they'll pick up pace and they always go on a run, don't they, City, of like, you know, 9 or 10 yeah. wins in a row. So it's important that likes of Liverpool, Chelsea, United, to get pick up wins at the start. That's how we won that league. We got it. I think we played them in Anfield early on the season. We were 5 points clear. We won, went 8 points clear. And I think that, like, such a psychological edge. So I think it's important for teams to get ahead early. So like the Chelsea, Liverpool. Kenny, who do you have second, actually?
I have Chelsea second.
Oh, so we both have our top... Well, you've top two, Chelsea and Ting, Chelsea and City.
Yeah.
And did any of you have United third? Anyone think United could win the league, or...?
I have United third, yeah. I don't think they can win the league, but I do think... I just don't trust Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to win trophies, lad, especially the biggest trophy in England. I don't trust him to win that league. He has been back this summer. Jadon Sancho and Varane. I look at United and say they have good options, but will Pogba perform at Manchester United, especially 1 year left in his contract? He won't want to get injured. So, you know, the Paul Pogba you see at France and you see at United is two different things. He's a difference maker. How will Varane adapt to the Premier League, more physical league? He had a few injuries last year. You know, I am his biggest fan, as you guys know. I'm sure yous are a big fan, but I just, you know, watched him at the Euros again, you know, for this guy that's meant to be, you know, top five defender, some people say. I don't see it. Shaw, I think, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant down that side. I think it's midfield and that McTominay, Matic, I think they still need somebody to really elevate them. And if Cavani's not fit, I don't think Martial is your goal scorer.
Yeah, the reason I wouldn't think United would win the league, I just don't think they have a top keeper. I think obviously De Gea is a good keeper, and he certainly was, but his form is not up there. But I don't think you win the league with a keeper like Henderson. That's just my opinion. I think look down the years of keepers that have won the league, you know, Cech, Schmeichel, Van der Sar, say Alisson, Ederson, even Schmeichel at Leicester, he's a very capable keeper, but I just don't see it. I don't think Henderson's a bad keeper by any stretch, but I just don't think you can win a league when you have a keeper in there that, let's say, of Henderson's.
It's centre midfield too, though, isn't it? Because if you look at Chelsea, it's Jorginho, Kante, Liverpool, it's Fabinho, Henderson, it's Rodri and Gundogan, then at City, and all of them are really comfortable on the ball, receiving it, playing it out, dictating the game. You don't really get that with McTominay and Fred. So it looks like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, as long as it's a two in midfield, is going to play this counter-attacking football, you know, again, the top teams. And like at Old Trafford, you know, he's going to have to try sometime to try and dictate the game and get a win. And I don't think he has the centre midfielders to do it. And I think it's somewhere they really need. And I think with Varane at the back, they're more secure. They're actually their back four. To me, is very decent and solid. And I actually think while they don't have a out-and-out forward that can play all the games in the season, they have a lot of firepower. Like, they'll get a couple of goals from Cavani. They'll get a good few from Sancho. Rashford, when he comes back, Martial will chip him with a few. Bruno will. So will Pogba. You know, they'll have goal scorers all over the pitch, so they might get away with that, but there's no escape in centre midfield where they need someone that can actually dictate the play and get on the ball there. And it's vital, because you see Chelsea last year and Liverpool, City over the last couple of years, they've had players in midfield who control the ball, and possession is vital. And I just think last year you really seen with United in the big games, they couldn't control the ball. It was all counter-attack. Because they didn't have the player in midfield to do it. Pogba can do it, but he can't play in the two. And I think that's a killer for Man United. If he could go into centre midfield, he would do it no problem. But
does it for France, isn't he, in a two?
Yeah, but he can't have beside him. And I think that's kind of like
having three players beside you. I think what they did with Pogba, they don't trust Pogba in a midfield two or even a midfield three. They usually play him out kind of wide left, don't they?
On the left, yeah.
Yeah, so and even a midfield three of, I think if they had a really top defensive midfielder like, say, Kante, I know it's very hard to find these guys, but they could play Bruno and Pogba in a midfield three then, but they're having to play Fred and McTominay Yeah. Who like Fred? I don't rate Fred, to be honest. But McTominay is a good young player, yeah. But they definitely should persevere with him. But I don't think it's like if we're talking about United to win the league, I think United will be in the top four, no doubt, and they'll have a good season. And yeah, like I said, my second, third, and fourth, you could scramble those up anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if United went third or second or whatever it is. So just like I don't see United to go and win it. And
yeah, no, I look at the United there. Elliot, and I think the goalkeeping is a great point. You always need a top keeper to win the Premier League. I definitely agree. As soon as you said it, yeah, totally agree.
Mm.
The midfield, as me and Brezzy and yourself said there, just isn't going to be a winning formula. I think United are just going to play counter-attack. Like, their first game of the season is against Leeds. And Leeds will play great football. I think United will trounce them on the counter. I think they will beat them well. I don't think it'll be 1 or 2 nil. I think it'd be 3 or 4.
They did last year, didn't they? It was like 6-2 or something, 6-2. Wasn't it?
Yeah, I think United will score goals on the counter here today against Leeds and just bang the goals in because it's on the counter. Leeds won't be, you know, Bielsa just likes to play his way. That's his way. He won't change it. Leeds will play the better football, but they'll be caught on the counter. And that's where I think United is going to play counter-attacking football again. As you say, Rashford is out. I don't rate him again. I think you've got Greenwood, who can play right, and so he can cut in. He's going to be a superstar. Pogba will probably start on the left in games that Rashford's out, but Sancho will chip in with goals, and when Cavani's around, he will score goals for fun when he's playing. So United will have a good season, in my opinion. I just don't trust Ali to win trophies.
We haven't mentioned Liverpool yet. They've been in our top 3 of our top 4s. What are we thinking, boys? Any chance of a title challenge, or do you think it's just a case of Liverpool getting a few injuries back? What are you thinking?
Not for me. I don't think Liverpool will be challenging for that title. I think they'll get fourth in the skin of their teeth.
I think Liverpool will do better than a lot of people think. For me, I think obviously big players come back from injury. I know we said, Kenneth, that look, we don't know how Gomez and Van Dijk are going to come back after those injuries. I think Konate is a big signing. And we have 3 centre backs coming back now.
3 very injury prone now. I don't know how Van Dijk is going to come back. He's like from a cruciate ruptured injury like that. You know, I wonder. I hope he does come back. Just for football of fans, not just Liverpool. He comes back as a football for football fans. He was just amazing. I worry how he'll come back. Gomez is so injury prone. There's no two way of putting it, lad. Look at his record over the years. Konate's record over the last 2 years, lad. Torn muscle fibre. He missed a whole year of football with it.
Yeah, lad. I'm not disagreeing with the injury front at all. I just think them guys are fit now going back to the season. I think we'll do well this season.
Look at Henderson. He's injury prone. Look at Thiago. Injury prone. Fabinho does have his up and downs.
I don't think Thiago's injury prone, lad. I think he got snapped in a game at Everton. He was out for 2 months. It was a horrendous tackle. Yeah. I don't think he's injury prone.
But he has got injury record in his past. And he got African Cup of Nations. Your firepower's gone. That's Liverpool's firepower for a period of time gone.
The African Cup of Nations, though, is January the 9th to February the 6th. Liverpool only have 2 Premier League games in that, and it's Brentford at home and Palace away. So you'd like to think, even though our two main firemen will be away, the fire for firepower, you'd like to think Liverpool in those games could cope, you know, in those 2 games. I think there must be FA Cup or something on in between, which we know Klopp doesn't really care about. But you'd like to think of the 2 Premier League games that Liverpool could cope.
Another thing is, lads, we had a bad season last season, lads, and we didn't lose any big players. You know, that's one thing that does happen to us when we do have a bad season. Look in the past, you know, Torres, Suarez, whoever it is. And Alonso, we do miss players, and when we have a bad season, we do lose them. I think a lot of it is, Ken, as you said, if they're staying fit. But I think Liverpool have a good season. I don't think we're going to be. I think we'll be up there until about, you know, December, January. But I think we'll fall away then. But I think we'll have a solid season. We were the form team at the end of last season, which we kind of turned around with a really bad spell. But I think we'll be up there until December, January, but fall off then. But I think I think we'll do a lot better than a lot of people think. People are kind of saying, look, we might not get in top 4. I just think we'll have enough power to get into that top 4 easily anyway. Hopefully anyway. But I just think people are writing off Liverpool a bit too early.
I think Liverpool are due a bit of luck injury wise as well. Like, it was horrific last year. You'd like to think it's probably what Liverpool need, but you'd like to think they'll get a little bit of luck with injuries this year, where it won't be, I suppose, as severe as last year. You won't be playing lads as much out of position, like the Fabinho at centre back and Henderson at centre back. Mm. You know, so you might be able to rotate and save them a bit. Klopp might be a bit cuter, and Harvey Elliott now is. He's a wonder kid, and he's probably still too young, but Klopp has played him in midfield in pre-season. So he's likely going to be another body in midfield for him to choose from. He's very young, but he is talented, but it's another option for Liverpool for a player in midfield, which is nice, because we didn't know whether we were going to have one when Wijnaldum left, because we still haven't bought anybody. So it's nice to know at least we have a young talent within Liverpool Football Club is going to be given a chance maybe and get to play a bit of game time.
Well, that's a mistake, I think. I know Wijnaldum leaving, like, that's a mistake not to replace him.
It is.
I think Liverpool are finished, lad. I still think Liverpool will get a midfielder, and they've been linked with Doku, the Belgian superstar. Mm. You know, I still think Liverpool will get business done. Liverpool will probably have a good start to the season, lad. I'm not going to say, like, you know, I think they'll do well in the first maybe 2 months of it. I just think injuries will clop in, and the way Liverpool play is such a great press in the midfield, it's tiring. And you know, look at the age of Henderson, you know, and Thiago does have his injuries, Fabinho does have his injuries, but you know, let's see. Like, I rate Jurgen Klopp, as you know, as the best manager up there, and he can change things, but it's like anything around, he's that good. Change a player, like, he's gonna put Curtis Jones in next season. I think he's gonna have to have a big season, I think he will. But I still think Liverpool will struggle as the season goes on if injuries come in there. I think Leicester will have a battle with them instead of, like, over the last 2 years, it's been Chelsea and Leicester kind of in that battle. I think it would be Liverpool-Leicester in that battle if injuries come into things, you know. But no disrespect to Liverpool. I think they will have a good start, but the injuries may come in because they play such a high-level press, and it's that way you play it.
The worst case scenario for Liverpool is very bleak. I think that's a nice way, because if injuries do happen to Liverpool in midfield and Van Dijk doesn't come back right, the worst case scenario for Liverpool is very bleak. If Liverpool have a little bit of luck with injuries, their season can open up. You know, it's just a matter of what happens. Mm-hmm. And there is the ifs and buts, because there are Liverpool's injuries last year and we still probably have injury-prone players. But you know, if there's a little bit of luck with injuries and we don't get these reoccurring injuries, Liverpool can perform really well and do really well in the season. I don't think there's, you know, a doubt about it. We're going to see a different Thiago this season as well. He's going to be maybe like a new signing. So there is little things like that are up for Liverpool. And I love the underdog tag for Liverpool. I love that people are writing Liverpool off. I hate the idea of everybody saying Liverpool are going to win the league. I love the whole, you know, Liverpool are not going to do well, everybody playing it down. And just saying that Liverpool won't be there, I think it suits Klopp. I think they can just work away, do what they need to do under the radar, and just keep playing football the way he wants to play it. Right, so lads, so that's the top four sorted. So we're going to the other end of the table now. We're going to have a look at the bottom three. There seems to be a lot of clubs in the Premier League that are just able to survive, stay mid-table, been there a long time. You know, they're not progressing to go near Europa League spots, and they're not getting relegated at the same time. Do we think one of them is going to drop down? How do we think the promoted teams might do? Who is our bottom three? Who's going to be leaving the Premier League at the end of the season? So, Shawnee, I'll come to you. Who's your bottom three?
In 18th, I have Southampton. 19th, I have Watford. And 20th, I have Norwich.
Right, okay. Elliot, what's your bottom three?
I didn't go 19th, 18, 19, 20. I didn't do it like that, but I have to go down Norwich, Brighton, and Watford. And what about yourself, Chrissy?
Very interesting. I have the very same as Shawnee in any particular order, really, of Southampton, Norwich, and Watford.
Southampton's a good one, boys, because they've lost a lot. They lost Vestergaard, they've lost Danny Ings. Yeah, I think that's a good shout. I thought I'm putting them in.
Ryan Bertrand.
Yeah, as well, Kenneth. I think that's a good show. I looked over them, but I just think they might make a signing or two. But now that you say it,
They've made a couple of Chelsea youngsters, lad. They've brought Darrell Simeu from the Chelsea Academy.
Livermento,
I'm a massive fan of. I think probably, you know, this will be a season for him, like, you know, to get first team football and big Premier League football. I just don't think he's gonna be the savior for Southampton. And Armando Broja had a super preseason for Chelsea, but he's no Danny Ings. So Adam Armstrong, there's no Danny Ings. Ward-Prowse still may leave. I think they're gonna struggle. I really do. I think my first manager to be sacked now was Raf Hasenhüttl as well. So I just really fear for them.
I think Brighton, lads, because I think with Brighton last year, I always thought they were playing good football and things like that, and then they couldn't win. They couldn't score. Remember there was that game against United when they hit the post about 70 times or something like that. But I just think they have to play really, really well to win. And they were in trouble until the last few games of the season. People don't forget. A team that I think will stay up. I know Burnley finished, 17th last year, and they set up. But I think with Sean Dyche there, I think they'll be safe. But I think Brighton, they lost Ben White as well. It'd be hard to know what they'll do. I think they might go down, but Southampton's a good show. Vestergaard leaving, I think, is a big one, because I think he's a good player, especially for those guys. Norwich, I think we all have Norwich to go down, do we?
Yeah.
Even though I think Billy Gilmore is a great loan signing for them, Kenny, and they have Cantwell as a good player, but I don't really know too much. I just think Norwich always seem to go up and down, don't they?
Always.
Yo-yo club, like.
They've got some good players there, like Max Aarons as well. They just don't have the firepower as well. I know Pookie's there, but like, is he really going to score that many goals? No. Billy Gilmore, super signing. I just don't see it for Norwich. I see them finishing bottom of the table. I don't know. I know you haven't get, like, you know, there's no way you can really predict 18, 19, 20 that I just did that way. But yeah. Norwich definitely, I think, will finish bottom. If I was to give a bottom, definitely side.
Buendia played with Norwich, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He went
He was their star player last year to get him up out of the Championship, and then you let him go. Now, I know Villa coming in, how could you not let him go, really? But, you know, you just think your star player to get you up, and then you look around the dressing room, and now you're battling in the Premier League, and your star player is gone. Like, psychologically for the players, like, that's tough going, you know? Like, if Villa had came up last year and Jack Grealish had left, like, that would have been tough on Villa. I know they've other good players, but it's a tough, tough ask, you know? And I think that really hurts you. Like, if Norwich had Buendia, you'd be kind of say, we might think a little bit different. You think they have a fighting chance, but, you know, letting your key player go. I seen him a couple of times last year. I think he's a really decent player. I know it was a Championship, but he's a decent footballer.
Newcastle, stay up.
I think they made a good signing, though, just staying with Norwich. They made two good signings during the week, one a while ago, Milo Rashica off Werder Bremen. He had a great season in the Bundesliga. Wide player, kind of. He's going to play where Buendia did. So keep an eye on him as well. I think he will be very good. He might be a guy that keeps them, you know, battling for a while. Josh Sargent as well. Werder Bremen, I think he came in from them, the US international. So, like, they've tried, but I still don't think they're good enough.
To stay, yeah. You were saying about Newcastle, Elliot. Yeah, I
think they'll stay up. I think I had a look at them just and the teams that might be dragged into it. I think Brucey has to keep them up. I know, you know, Newcastle fans don't really like Steve Bruce, but I think they'll stay up. But they were kind of touch and go at some stages last season, weren't they?
Yeah, Willock's a good signing for these. I'm not sure about the transfer fee, but he played well. Like, he's a decent player.
How much was he?
£25 million.
Yeah, the money is crazy. He's a good player, but they needed to get someone because Mike Ashley just doesn't seem to buy or get players. So they're actually lucky to be able to get somebody in, I feel, because it's just Newcastle just don't seem to get players. They're always stuck with the same bunch, you know, of lads that are doing their best every week, not attractive to watch, you know, probably organized well by Steve Bruce, and, you know, that's it. You know, So
if they have a ceiling, don't they?
To get a player, it's ridiculous, really. You know, it's a Newcastle fan, I'd say it's a tough time at the moment.
Massive club, great club. You'd like to see him doing well.
Yeah, I'd love to see them doing well. I think they're great to have in the Premier League. And you know, you look back early 2000s till about 2004 or 2005, like they were a Champions League side, and they get
crazy stuff.
Go decline, and you know, sad to see, because their supporters, they've great support, and you know, St James' Park, they're amazing club and supporters. Just Mike Ashley, as you know, we all know, has really let them down. I just find they'll be touch and go. I was Brighton kind of nearly in my bottom three, Elliot. I nearly agree with you. It's really close with, but Southampton losing, Vestergaard just changed it for me. So touch and go there. Burnley, as you say, I think will be safe enough with Sean Dyche. I think that's really kind of like, is there anyone else you think will be touch and go? Watford, obviously, we haven't gone on to yet, but
not really. I don't think there's anyone else really there that would come into it.
Palace, will Vieira change it up with Palace and try and be more, play more attractive football? Could that be kind of a, could that come back to haunt him? Hodgson kind of was more negative, set up well, were organised, you know, they were going to get mid-table, lower half, but they're always going, kind of going to be safe. If Vieira changes it up, will they be in trouble?
Yeah, maybe, because they try that to get a manager like that in, and then they end up going back to like Tony Pulis or Hodgson or something like that. So
yeah.
I remember they tried, was it Frank De Boer, was it, Kenny?
Yeah.
And he had seven games, seven losses, something like that. He literally the worst record in, like Ricky Sprage has a better record than that, like, you know, so crazy stuff. I think that's the bottom three sort. Anyway, I think I'm like,
well, that's my surprise package this season, Chrissy. I think they'll do very well. I think they've done great in the market.
Who's that?
Crystal Palace. I think I think there's my surprise package to get close to top 10. If I was just to pick an outsider, just not playing it safe, I think Vieira would do well. He signed an excellent centre half in Mark Guehi off Chelsea. I think he's a super, super player. I'm really disappointed we lost him. Joachim Anderson had a good season at Fulham. Conor Gallagher had a great season at West Brom on loan to Chelsea. And they've done well in the market. They've had a good pre-season where they've won, I think, 5 out of 6 and drawn the other one. I think they'll be, like, I'd even think they'll be very, very hard to beat again.
How do you describe to someone how it feels that doesn't like football, what's like when the Premier League is coming back, lads? How do you describe it? Like, I was trying to say to my missus, maybe it's a bit like Love Island coming back, but it's not. It's bigger. You know what I mean? Like, I know for Chrissy, Love Island as well, but you know what I'm saying? But, it's just great, isn't it? Great, just be even here talking about, like, everyone has a bit of a, you know, spring in their step. The Prem's back, like, you know what I mean. Yeah. Everyone's thinking their club. It's brilliant. You can't replace it. That's just football, isn't it, lads? It's just want to say that, like, it's crazy how.
It's just so great.
And then you fancy football, which we started the group, and thanks to everyone who obviously joined it. We have loads of people joining it. It's obviously free to join, and there's going to be a prize at the end, and we'll do updates and we'll. We'll see how Chrissy gets on. He was bottom of the league last year. So. But yeah, it's great to see lads. But yeah, happy days.
Yeah, I think every kind of day in the summer, as you say, Elliot, it's like a countdown to when the Premier League starts, and it gets closer and closer and closer, and the excitement goes just crazy.
Yeah.
Like the first game last night, Brentford Arsenal. You know, the excitement of everyone, like you know, watching it.
Yeah.
Back, like, it wouldn't be as, you know, how would you say, one of those big games you would watch if it was, like, you know.
Yeah, it's not one of the super Sunday games, you know, Brentford Arsenal. But it's
the first game of the season, everyone's just like jumping in excitement. And
fans back in, atmosphere, no fake crowd, nice.
Brilliant. Even Carragher jumping in with the
press. Carragher jumping in, yeah.
You know, and then.
Can't beat it, lads.
No, and then I look at that. You know, the fancy football, Chrissy does have a forfeit to do in our, you know, we do have the host league, and he has a forfeit from last year, so definitely we'll keep you updated on that.
Keep it on, definitely.
Rejuvenate a manager this year, don't worry. Rejuvenate.
Oh. Who are we talking for top scorer, boys? Chrissy, what do you think?
I still think it'd be Harry Kane, whether he's at Spurs or he's at Man City. I think he takes penalties, he'll get a couple of season. Wherever he's at, and he's just such a good goal scorer. He's just always going to be in the box scoring goals. And if he goes to City, he could get any amount of goals, really, because if he can play for Spurs in a negative setup and get as many goals as he did, you know, what could he do in a City team? It'd just be crazy. But Harry Kane would be my pick for top scorer this year.
I just think he might lose out to other players because he might not have his future sorted, so he might not be actually. I mean, he might play against City first players, which is crazy. And but I don't think he will. I don't think he'll play the first few games of the season, and that's where I think a player. He still get loads of goals, no doubt in that. But I think there'll be players ahead of him. Ken, I have a crystal ball here, and it tells me you're going to pick Lukaku. Correct. My crystal ball, right, Ken? Is it
correct?
Yeah, now what do you think? I know you said top scoring in the Italian league last year.
Yeah, you know, Lukaku, as I said to you, 64 goals in 95 apps last year, 24 goals, 11 assists in Serie A alone. The year before that, 23, 8 assists. But he's hit over 30 goals in both seasons for Inter Milan. What Conte has done to him, brilliant. He's got 113 Premier League goals in 241 games. He's proven in the Premier League, and that's at the likes of West Brom, Everton. He has so many goals there at Everton. I think it was
crazy amount of goals. Yeah.
You know, he's got 1-2 record nearly at every club, including Manchester United, who he was their top scorer, I think, in two seasons running, and definitely in one season. And, you know, he's got a 1-2 record, just below it, like, and, you know, they call him flop bus. Chelsea, he's an absolutely different player. Back to goal, brilliant layoff, his skill, and he's got power and pace. I think his closest opponent will be Mo Salah for the Golden Boot. I think two of them will be ahead of Harry Kane.
Good segue, Ken. I've gone with Salah. Just think, great points compared to Lukaku and Kane. But I think with Salah, he had a great season last season in terms of goal scoring, 22 goals in a really poor Liverpool performance of a season. I think with all our players, like you said, it depends on injuries. But Salah, again, takes penalties. He's always there. But like in the last four seasons, his average goals are in the season is 23.75 goals a season.
Yeah.
He's always up there. The lowest he got in the last four seasons was 19. So I think he'll be up there again. Wouldn't be surprised if Kane or Lukaku, but I think Salah will be up there. Like I said, Liverpool were terrible last year and he got 22 league goals. So hopefully he has a good season again, but he's getting a bit more help from the likes of Mane, Firmino, and a few of the midfielders there. But yeah, I think I'd go Salah there. But
yeah, it's hopefully a toss-up for me, lad. It's a toss-up. I do think Lukaku will score tons of goals for Chelsea, but Salah has got, you know, he got two golden boots, maybe three.
Two out of the last two, yeah, two he has.
You know, that's amazing. I think it's a toss-up. If I'm picking Lukaku, but my second choice, and it's literally probably by a goal, would be Salah. You know, so, and you know, it could be vice versa. I just think Salah scores goals left, right, and center as well. So,
fair enough, lads. What was the next one? Player of the season, who are we going with, Chrissy?
Oh, that's a tough one. I still think Kevin De Bruyne is the man. I know he's injury prone at the moment, but I think City will win the league, and I still think he is the main go to man for City to contribute or to create. Score, assist, pass, dictate the play. He is still City's go-to man and has been since David Silva maybe left the City. And I think he'll be the man for City this year. I think he'll get the player of the year.
And players love everyone. All the players who talk that play in the Premier League, they always say he's the best player they played against. Midfielder. I actually think De Bruyne will be up there as well. I've gone with De Bruyne to win player of the year. I just think the players love him. The football writers love him, and he always seems to be up there. No matter if City you're having a good or bad season. So I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin De Bruyne got it. Ken, I'm going to get my crystal ball out again, right?
Right.
Give me a second. I think your player of the season, it's going to be a Chelsea player. Is that right so far?
No.
Oh, I was going to say you might win for Kante. Who have you gone with?
Kevin De Bruyne.
Oh, De Bruyne as well?
Yeah.
So I think he will win it. Even though City will finish second, I still think he'll be, you know, when he plays, he delivers. So I think he will be, his assists will be top class in games, and he'll return the goal for him. But he will be injured a lot. So, but I still think his displays on the pitch will be the best that you'll see.
Do you think, like years to come, lads, he's going to be talked about, or even now, should he be talked about in the same regard as, you know, like Gerrard, Lampard, Vieira, Keane, as one of the best midfielders the Premier League's ever seen? Do you think he's going to be in those conversations? Because I think because he's playing now, people tend to look past players that are actually playing now. I think De Bruyne is unbelievable. One of the best players I've seen anyway.
Oh, he is unbelievable. He'd be probably top 10. Top, you know, Kante has to come into that equation as well. You know, that play now. So I still don't think they're in that league. But look, everyone has their points and views on it. It's a great question to ask, Elliot. But I still wouldn't have him in the bracket of Lampard's, Gerrard's. I would have him ahead, like, you know, United fans will give out to me on this one. They will. But, you know, this is why we have the podcast. We need a bit of controversy on it. Or, you know, everyone has their opinion. But I think De Bruyne is a better player than Paul Scholes, for example. You know, I think he does more than Paul Scholes. So, that's just that. Look, United fans, you know, come and tear me apart. But just, you know, everyone has their opinion. And
I'd be worried about a lad from Wicklow knocking on your door later on tonight, lad.
Yeah, I have a feeling someone from Wicklow will be knocking on the door. I might break in, but I think he's in that conversation there. I think he's ahead of Gleison Scholes. I don't think he's near Lampard, Gerrard, Keane, Vieira, those guys.
What are we thinking for... sorry, Chris, you want to say something there?
I don't know, just in fairness to De Bruyne, he's consistently performed for a couple of years now. It's not as if he's just... you know, produce big moments that you could just pick out and put into a highlight reel. Like, he's literally delivered every week he's played for City and led them to, you know, Premier Leagues. The only thing he hasn't probably led them to, and I wouldn't blame him for him either, is that Champions League. And I'd say if City do go on while he's there and get a Champions League or two, it would probably add to his legacy and his, even though it's not in the Premier League, but the fact that I think there is something about Premier League players who have a Champions League as well. It kind of adds to their legacy or to their value as a footballer and what they've achieved. And I just think it's probably something missing from him. And I think it's something he probably deserves and he probably will eventually get.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
What are you thinking for young player this season, Kenny?
Toss up between two for me. But the one I've picked is Mason Mount.
Who's your toss-up? Who's your player between Mount and who, kind of?
Kai Havertz.
Oh, he's quite young as well, yeah. Chrissy?
Well, I'm going with Greenwood. I think he'll get more time with Man United this season. I think he's getting better and better. He's an excellent shooter. Like, that left foot is exceptional. And I think he needs probably to be played more by Man United. I think he suffers from maybe big players coming in. He's not really, I suppose, getting as many chances I think he should be getting. I think when you look at if Rashford cut in on his right foot or Greenwood cuts in his left foot, I know who I fear more, and it's definitely Greenwood. And I just think the more he's in that team, the more goals he'll get. He's the type of player for Man United who they don't have. Martial, for me, is not an out-and-out goal scorer up front. Cavani can't play up front for the entire year because he'll just get injuries just that bit older. I actually think Greenwood is one of those players from Man United who could actually get the double figures of goals if he was played often enough. He is the one who could really deliver. And I think he might just get that chance this year. I think he'd get young player of the year.
I went with Foden. I think the English media absolutely fancy him. He had a bad Euros, I think. But the English media love him. I think Pep's going to play him a lot more. Actually, I don't know if we'll play him a lot more, obviously, with Grealish coming in. But I think if Foden gets a good number of games, I think he'll win the young player of the season. I think good shout there at Mount, kind of. And you never know. Trent won it, I think, 2 years ago when we won the league. So you never know if he has a good season. Trent has a good season. They'll try to give it to English players, won't they? So that's why you kind of said maybe Foden would be more likely, because the English media would be more likely to give it to an English player, I think, anyway.
But I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think Greenwood is a great show, Chris.
Greenwood's a good show, yeah. I didn't really think of him, but yeah, it's good.
I'm always saying he's going to be a superstar, and he'd probably be the future United number nine, and that left foot is a one. So it's a great show. If he does get the game time, I think it's a proper, really top show as well.
So we'll go lastly. Kenny, you said Ralph Hasenhüttl was your first manager to get sacked.
Yeah,
that's. I think I'll agree with you there, Chrissy. Anyone else that you think will get a chop?
Yeah, I would go with the Southampton manager. I still think about Vieira. I just think it's brilliant. It's a victory for football, right? If Patrick Vieira goes to Palace and plays more attractive football and they do well. But I just think sometimes it's very difficult and it doesn't always work out like that. I think it can be difficult. And if it goes the other way on him, where he tries to play attractive football, they're too open and they get a couple of bad defeats, it's very hard to change it around. I was listening to Keane Carragher and Neville talk about it, and they did say, Gary Neville mentioned working with Hodgson, and he said that what Hodgson did was the very same at each training session. And he basically said that if Patrick Vieira goes in and changes, it's very hard to change players out of that mentality where it's very organised, same thing each session, and get them to be more expansive. I don't know whether Palace have the players to be receiving the ball out of the back line, playing with the ball, playing nice football, maybe like a Swansea did coming out of the Championship. I think they do this year, lad.
I think, especially at the back, I think they have players that will and are comfortable at the, playing the ball out the back there, like Mark Gurhey at Swansea, played just out from the back 24/7. Joachim Anderson has played the highest level, balls out from the back. I think they do. I think Palace are okay. I think they're my, as I say, surprise package for me would be Palace. And it would be a victory for football if Vieira.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. But they've had a good pre-season. I even fear playing them in the first game of the season at the Bridge. I fear playing them because I think we're going to have players only coming back from, you know, holidays and not fit. But, and this is your time for them to really take Chelsea on. They still got Zaha and, you know, I do fear them.
Yeah, just maybe last thing, lads. I think we kind of went through every team in the league. I think we didn't talk about Arsenal or Spurs. Do you think any chance of top four for either of those clubs? I don't think so myself. But what do you think, anyone?
Not a hope. Not a hope for us, especially Arsenal, not hope.
No. I know there's a good few Arsenal fans that listen, so I wanted to kind of see if there's anyone that has a bit of hope for them.
Daly, you know exactly what I said a couple of weeks ago. Right, what was said last night after the game? What was said? You repeat my comments there if you want, please.
What was it? Who said what? What you said about said last night?
What did I say first before that comment?
About Thierry Henry, was it?
He gave all those Arsenal fans hope and gathered them into you know, the fanhood and, you know, hopeful joy for the rest of their, you know, Arsenal fan career. Edu has had money this summer. He's the technical director. He's gone and bought Ben White for 50 million. Lokonga for, you know, guts of 17 to 18 million. Tavares, 8, 9 million. And, you know, they haven't bought a clinical striker. They've been linked with Abraham all the time. He looks like he's gone to Roma instead. Lautaro Martinez, why didn't you get that deal done? You know, you had the personal terms agreed. Just pay the money. Arsenal haven't been given the money. And they just don't. I don't know. I really don't understand their policy of, you know, scouting and transfers, because such a massive club, rebuilding, playing, you know, trying to play attractive football, giving youth the chance. I like that. But buy the right players. They just don't do it. And I've no hope for Arsenal getting into top four, even maybe top six. You give your opinion there, Chrissy.
Who's the captain? Is Lacazette still the captain for Arsenal?
Aubameyang.
That just tells me everything you need to know. Like, that basically tells me you have no central defender that's a leader. You have nobody, a leader in your back line. You have no leader in your midfield.
I thought Shaka was the captain. I haven't a clue.
He got ripped apart, remember?
Actually, he had to give it up.
2 years ago.
But the players they have. Like, up front, you have Pepe, who spent massive money on Pepe. You have Aubameyang, Lacazette. I actually don't think they're as good as they used to be anymore. And they're probably on a huge wage, can't get rid of them. Saka's an exciting young player. I like Saka. I think he's good. Odegaard. Who's the other player? Smith-Rowe. I actually think he's quite decent at times too. But, you know, you're a top club like Arsenal. You need more than that. You really do. And look, 50 million is probably overpaying for Ben White, but at least they went out maybe and got a defender that they think could improve the team with a bit of personality, or, you know, they did, you know, who, you know, lacked leadership, wasn't kind of courageous. You know, at least Ben White will give you, he'll give you a little bit more of that. I think he's a good player. He's probably not a top player, but I don't think we can judge Arsenal like that anymore. Arsenal aren't going for a title. They're probably not going for top four. They're going for a Europa League place at best. You know, really. Like, where did Arsenal finish last season, to be fair?
Was it eighth? Seventh or eighth?
I think it was... I actually don't even know. I think Leeds were ninth, were they? Everton were tenth. I haven't a clue. Sure. That's...
Seventh, maybe, you know. You know, everything nowadays with Arsenal is... Even Brentford winning last night, the whole conversation on social media is, oh, Arsenal are finished. It's nothing to do really with the Brentford win. It's all about Arsenal, Arteta. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's I don't feel like Arsenal can challenge for any real thing anymore. I don't rate Arteta, you know, at all. You watched them playing last night, playing out from the back. They have players, but they don't know what they're doing anymore. And Ben White, for me, he will be very good in years to come. And he will improve that Arsenal back line. Give him a couple of weeks, of course, to, you know, settle in. But he's not a leader. He's not a leader. He wasn't a leader at Brighton. Webster and Dunk were the leaders at Brighton at the back there in the back three. I don't see him as a leader. And as you say, like, Aubameyang, is he a proper quality captain? No. Like I said, is their vice captain? Is he good? Captain, is he a leader? Would you look up to him? No.
Yeah.
Elliot, what would you say on Ben White, for example? Do you find him to be a leader?
No, definitely. I wouldn't. Like I said, I haven't watched much of Ben White. I do think he's a good player. I think 50 million is crazy. I think that's madness. Yeah. But I think we English taxes in there. I think it's a good signing if he was. I think he's a good player, but I just think Arsenal are in trouble this year. I think he'll have another season like last season where they're 7th or 8th, to be honest. I think
Arteta's under pressure already, lad. I think he's under pressure.
I think they should get rid of Arteta. I think it's not worked out. It just has. He had a full season last season.
Yeah, and half.
Half season before. So if he has bad half a season, yeah. I think they should get rid of. They need to get somebody in there. I don't know who to get in. I think that's another day's work talking about Arsenal.
Spurs I fear more, even more if they lose Kane, especially Nuno doesn't excite me as a manager going into kind of a club of Spurs stature. Well, I suppose it's a small club of dust, but
Spurs,
you know, well, dust club, you know, it's just the cabinet is just full of dust. But I still think they're going to lose Harry Kane, and are they really going to be able to prize Lautaro Martinez over the line from Inter Milan? Or if they got a guy, Dusan Vlahovic of Fiorentina, I think he's going to stay one more year. He's a really top class player. I feel sorry for Son there. You know, he deserves better. Their back line doesn't give me any confidence whatsoever.
What do you think of Romero? I think he's
very good, lad.
Decent.
Very good, but you have Eric Dier there, you know?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for him as well, going to a club like that to play with those sort of defenders. And the midfield, Højbjerg is very good, but Ndombele hasn't produced. Dele Alli hasn't produced over the last while. And if Kane goes, I really fear for them. They will sign the attacker, but I don't think it will be... Kind of there's Kane, Lukaku, Lewandowski, and there's a couple of others in tier one. I think like tier two would be like some Martinez, Vlahovic. I don't think they're going to be able to sign that, so I fear for them. But Nuno, I think, will be in trouble probably halfway, three quarters away in the season. He may even lose his job because Spurs, I think, will finish mid tableish.
Be interesting to see that anyway.
And a player there, I'd just like to say, you have to watch out for, lads, is Leon Bailey for Aston Villa. Just want to give him a big shout-out. I think it's a top sign for Aston Villa.
And Patson Blanca for Leicester. Don't forget him either. Goal Aston machine.
Blanca. Thanks for listening to the Flatback 4 podcast. Let us know what your predictions are for the upcoming season. Get in touch Instagram and Facebook.